This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Round one goes to Governor Romney.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Does anybody out there think that the big problem we had is that there was too much oversight and regulation of Wall Street? Because if you do, then Governor Romney is your candidate. But that's not what I believe.
That's just not the facts. Look, we have to have regulation in Wall Street. That's why I'd have regulation. But I wouldn't designate five banks as too big to fail and give them a blank check.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I'm going to stop the subsidy to PBS. I'm going to stop other things. I like PBS. I love Big Bird. I actually like you, too. But I'm not going to keep on spending money on things to borrow money from China to pay for.
When I walked into the Oval Office, I had more than a $1 trillion deficit greeting me. And we know where it came from.
Life and liberty. We have a responsibility to protect the lives and liberties of our people. In that line that says we are endowed by our Creator with our rights, I believe we must maintain our commitment to religious tolerance and freedom in this country.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And obviously, we're talking about the debates. We're here in Washington, D.C. Jordan's in the studio with me, and I need to get right into this conversation, folks. By the way, coming up in the third segment of the broadcast is going to be my brother-in-law, who is a medical doctor in Atlanta, Georgia, a radiologist, and has some very important analysis of what the implementation of Obamacare means, since, in fact, that became such a big part of the discussion yesterday. Jordan's here in the studio as well. Full disclosure, Jordan has to do with his Washington Post blog. Jordan has consulted with the Romney campaign, so we just want everybody to know that. I'll be mentioning also David French will be joining us in the latter 30 minutes of the broadcast. He is also the author of Evangelicals for Mitt. He's one of the primary authors there, so we're just disclosing everybody's roles and what they do here. Jordan, first, let's get your analysis of what happened last night.
Well, I think instead of zingers, what the campaign was talking about, Governor Romney's campaign was talking about, was lines that are memorable. I mean, I don't have a sheet of paper in front of me right now, and I'm thinking about trickle-down government. I'm thinking about when he told President Obama, you pick losers, you know, about the government picking the winners and losers, the banks that are too big to fail. When he talked about the morality of the debt, that is something we've been talking about for a couple of years, that this idea that you don't worry about future generations, you keep spending for seniors now, you keep spending for baby boomers now, and you don't worry about your kids or grandkids. And Mitt Romney picked up on that right away, said this is not just about money and dollars and cents. This is about morals. Are you going to leave $50,000 of debt on everyone born today, which is about the average debt they are born with and what they would have to pay to get our economy out of the deficits and debt we have?
All right, now let's take a look at the, and we'll do this when we come back from the break as well, but let's take a look at the analysis of who won and who lost last night. Your sense?
Sure. I think everyone knows Mitt Romney won, including the Obama campaign. They even said he won on style points. But it's interesting, a lot of people who watch the debates actually turn down the volume analysis, and they want to just see the reaction, see the body language. And you could tell last night, and this is not surprising, former presidents that were the same incumbents, at those first debates, they're kind of feeling, why am I here? I've got a lot on my mind. I've got a lot to do. This is an hour and a half. And I think they kind of need this to shake it up. And that's what you see. Does President Obama get shaken up by this enough to where he goes back to his campaign staff and people like Chris Matthews, Lawrence O'Donnell, the MSNBC crowd, and says, let's not have this happen again. Let's make sure we have the facts. Because what you saw last night was his key attacks on Governor Romney. Governor Romney just said, that's not true. And that was and said, here's what is actually true. And if you notice, President Obama went back again to the same attack. Yeah. It doesn't work if you don't have the facts. And Mitt Romney, like him or not, knows exactly what he's saying. And he give you every single number on it. And remember, that's what the American people have wanted from him, actual facts and plans.
All right, folks, we're going to come back with more analysis on this. So you're going to want to stay tuned. Again, we are talking about the power of the presidency. You need foundations of freedom to understand it. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live. Millions of Americans listen every day, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
The ACLJ on the front lines, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And we want you to have an important resource. Free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or online at aclj.org. Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow provides unique insight and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulow Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulow tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Jordan Sekulow in the studio with me here in Washington, D.C. Let me go right to a statement that was made by Charles Krautheimer after the debate. Take a listen.
I thought Romney won, and Romney won big. He won by 2 touchdowns. You know, when a challenger just steps up on the stage, that already gives him stature. But when he performs the way Romney did, I think it really changes. It doesn't change the game, but it changes the momentum.
All right, let's talk about that. Momentum shift, Jordan, you and I were talking about this during the break. Momentum shift versus translating into actual movement in the polls and in the voting.
Last night, I think it was more about conservatives, the base of the party. They needed to see people who are Republicans or lean conservative. Many of the listeners here wanted to see this from Mitt Romney. They wanted to know that their candidate, who has had some trouble in the past couple of weeks, in polls at least, could really deliver a performance. And I recall, if you go back to the Republican debates and think about what Mitt Romney went through when he was being attacked by 6 other people, people like Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann, I mean, he was debating some of the best, and he won those debates. So he gets into a more formal setting, which I think is a very good setting for Mitt Romney, where his jokes do work. You know, people talk about his jokes don't work, but they work in that formal setting. He gets behind the podium, and you start wondering, who's the president here? And I saw people tweeting that last night, analysts tweeting that from the left and the right, that these are both, I mean, Mitt Romney looked like he was a president. So I think it's about the base. The next question is, what happens in debate two? Debate two, I think more people are going to tune in. That was 60 million or more people watched last night. More people will tune into debate two, and you'll see a different Obama, and you'll see, does this different Obama try to be confrontational? Is he able to go toe-to-toe with Governor Romney? And that's when I think you start seeing a shift. I think he's going to get some bump in the polls, definitely. Yeah. I'm not sure you're going to see this massive change, because I saw some of the early polling last night. 80% of the people thought he won on every channel. But then the opinion is about the same still. Only a few people changing their votes. But in
this
one
is such
state,
a tight race, though.
A couple percent shift because of these debates, and you could become president of the United States.
All right. One of the key bites that you or sound that came out yesterday, statements from Governor Romney, you talked about was this trickle down government line. Let's go ahead and play that number 21.
I know what it takes to get small business growing again, to hire people. Now I'm concerned that the path that we're on has just been unsuccessful. The president has a view very similar to the view he had when he ran 4 years ago, that a bigger government, spending more, taxing more, regulating more, if you will, trickle-down government would work. That's not the right answer for America. I'll restore the vitality that gets America working again.
Okay, so that was a thematic, Jordan, of the campaign. You're writing something for the Washington Post on your blog. And again, disclosure that, Jordan has a disclosure on the Washington Post blog that he has consulted for the Romney campaign. Let's talk about what is the essence of what you're going to be saying in your statement to the Washington Post and your blog to the Washington Post.
I think that in an economic debate, Governor Romney still in issues that can be a little dull. The people, I mean, and this is what they're saying, you know, with the turning down and watching the reaction, because after about 2 minutes on Medicare, Social Security, reforming that, listen, it gets over people's head, get over my head. I mean, it's a lot of talking about the issues and fairly in the weeds for a presidential debate. And that's because they were talking about, at least Governor Romney was, specifics. So what I was going to talk about here is that even though this was a drier topic area, it's what people are most concerned about. You saw they could have gone on for another hour and a half. Easily. And Jim Lehrer couldn't even stop the discussion. There's so much to talk about: the economy, entitlements, reforms. So here's, I think, part two of what I'm writing about. I think I go back to that morality. I go back to the issue that he said, when we're talking about dollars and cents, I'm still someone who understands the bigger picture here, which is not just the dollar bills in your pocket and how much you're getting paid and do you have enough to retire. It's also about the future. And they talked about that with education. I think that is an issue that helps, especially evangelicals, conservatives out there when they're listening. Take issues like the economy. Take issues when they're trying to paint conservatives, big business, pro-business, top 1% kind of things, and say, you know, it's not really about that. It's really about what's the best way to get our kids on track. Do we want to have a kid right now who's born with $50,000 in federal debt? Or do we want to give them an opportunity like most of us have, where there's zero to very little debt that we would technically be born with? I mean, the numbers are going up, youth unemployment, all of these facts are no good for the president. And the question is, does the message get across clearly enough? It definitely did last night, but there's two more debates. There's the vice presidential debate next week as well.
Let me play this one for you also, which I'm going to play when Dan Bennett's on in the second half hour of the broadcast. Chris Matthews' comment, this is pretty interesting, number 20.
Certainly there was no Bobby Kennedy in the green room before Barack Obama came out tonight. I don't know what he was doing out there. He had his head down. He was enduring the debate rather than fighting it. Romney, on the other hand, came in with a campaign. He had a plan.
So what's your I mean, this is Chris Matthews, who last time was talking about President Obama was getting a tingle up his leg.
You know, I saw Michael Moore tweeted out, this is what happens when you pick John Kerry to be your debate coach.
Mm.
You could think you can kind of get through it, but if you don't have the right personality, and John Kerry was good in those debates, but it's a very much a personality thing. This is what President Obama did. If you go back to when he was debating Hillary Clinton or when he was debating John McCain, he did this somber, very calm, which he was, and kind of like, I'm a president. You know, and that worked for him in 2008. The problem is he's already been president now for 4 years. People want him to pick his look up at them, get your head off. You don't just be looking down at Jim Lehrer. And I think all of that is stuff that you would never happen if you were spending the time necessary to prepare, because you know President Obama knows how to give a speech. He knows how to talk. There are people saying though, you know, he hasn't given a speech without a teleprompter in a long time. He hasn't given a speech to an unfriendly crowd or a neutral crowd in a really long time. And this is, again, he hasn't had a debate in 4 years. He's had some discussions, but he's president of the United States. But all of this goes back to style points. And the truth is, somebody in that campaign, it could have been the president himself, did not want to spend the time to figure out where should I be looking. And if you notice the difference, Mitt Romney, all of that's coordinated. The campaigns know exactly how it's going to be set up. And the Presidential Debates Commission, they give them all the info. Many of the questions, you know, are coming from the campaign. Here you have a situation, though, where Mitt Romney knew exactly where to look. He knew exactly how to present himself to you. And it looks like President Obama was just kind of walked in, did his part, and if Mitt Romney said that's not right, he just kept repeating it over and over.
Let me play this one, because this was a statement, I think, that just kind of set the tone, the difference. And I think this is what Chris Matthews was saying correctly, and that is the difference between a thematic approach to a debate. When I argue a case at the Supreme Court of the United States, I have a theme that I go with. Governor Romney last night had a thematic approach to the debate, and you heard it pretty early on what he was going to get into and how he was going to deal with the employment job issues. Listen to number two.
I just don't know how the president could have come into office facing 23 million people out of work, rising unemployment, an economic crisis at the kitchen table, and spent his energy and passion for 2 years fighting for Obamacare instead of fighting for jobs for the American people. It has killed jobs.
Okay, so in one sentence, Jordan, the president talks about the number of people out of work, the fact that unemployment is rising, that we've got a emphasis that the president put on getting Obamacare through, which we know is not popular with at least half the country, and that the end result was not creating jobs, losing jobs. In one basic soundbite there, the President Obama's whole plan was challenged by Governor Romney. That was a good thematic approach, which is how you do a case. And that's what you're saying the president did not come back with.
No, there was what do you take away from President Obama? The $5 trillion tax is all I remember him saying.
Here's what he, to be fair to the president, let's play what he said, number 10.
When I walked into the Oval Office, I had more than a $1 trillion deficit greeting me. And we know where it came from.
Yeah, it came from the previous 8 years. Now the deficit's doubled. It's doubled, so no cutting in half. The deficit is actually doubled. So trillions and trillions of dollars, and the president wants to spend another $1 trillion in deficit spending the next year. The debt is doubled. I mean, the money thing has gotten out of control. The question is, do people care enough? And I think it goes down to the heart of the American people. Are they so concerned about getting by today that they don't care about the future generations right now? That they are concerned about, you know, I think you listen to this discussion about Medicare. And I'm sitting there going, why would seniors groups oppose this? What is some group representing people who, again, have been pledged that nothing will change for you, are so opposed to something that will be different for me? And I think that's upsetting to future generations if they kind of get through the idea Obama, Romney, Republican, Democrat, and just take some time and say, think about this. One is on the same path that FDR was. He doesn't want to change the policies. He wants to keep funding money into it. And another is telling you you're going to have different options. You know, if you're 40 years old right now, if you're 30 years old right now, this is the problem. The problem is what you come away with from President Obama other than eh. And I think that's what you'll see is does that change in the next debate?
All right. Well, coming up on the broadcast, joining me next is going to be Gary Hickson. He's a medical doctor in Atlanta, Georgia. And again, in full disclosure, he's also my brother-in-law, Jordan's uncle. He's a radiologist. He has a lot to say about Obamacare, what it means, and these panels, these medical panels, which came out last night. I'm going to get into more of that tomorrow on the broadcast as well. Folks, we're talking about the power of the presidency, and for you to understand, and I want everybody that's listening to be educated and informed, everybody needs to know what the power of the presidency is. So if you go to your phones, I'm going to send you the Foundations of Freedom, which lays it out for you. 1-877-989-2255. It's absolutely free. If you want to know the power of the presidency, you call us at 1-877-989-2255 and get Foundations. Very important. You go to ACLJ. A lot of information, of course, posted on the website. Follow everybody on Twitter and Facebook. But go to ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live. Millions of Americans listen every day, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
The ACLJ on the front lines, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And we want you to have an important resource. free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or online at aclj.org.
If I'm elected, we won't have Obamacare. We'll put in place the kind of principles that I put in place in my own state and allow each state to craft their own programs to get people insured, and we'll focus on getting the cost of health care down.
If you repeal Obamacare, and I have become fond of this term, Obamacare.
Well, as we're talking about all of these issues in the debate last night and what took place, one of course, the major issues that came up was the issue of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Here's what Governor Romney said. It's number 9. Take a listen.
If I'm elected, we won't have Obamacare. We'll put in place the kind of principles that I put in place in my own state and allow each state to craft their own programs to get people insured, and we'll focus on getting the cost of health care down.
That was the words from Governor Romney. Now, interestingly, President Obama said he was proud of Obamacare. Take a listen.
If you repeal Obamacare, and I have become fond of this term, Obamacare.
Well, joining us on the phone right now, and I thought this would be very appropriate, is my brother-in-law, who is also a medical doctor, Gary Hickson. He practices radiology in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And this is an issue that has been, of course, a big concern to the medical community. By the way, the recent polling that's come out is medical professionals overwhelmingly, doctors in particular, are very, very opposed to what's happening with Obamacare and the impact it's having. Gary, you had written me earlier, we had talked earlier, and you had written an email, it was one I kept, about the concerns with Obamacare and where it's going. And some of that came out last night with these medical panels. Talk for a few minutes about what we're really looking at when this bill, now law, is fully implemented.
Yeah, I think the concern that all physicians have is any barrier between the physician and the patient is not a good thing. And obviously, the IPAB, which is the Independent Payment Advisory Board, set up under Obamacare, a non-elected panel of some doctors. None of these are highly trained specialists in most areas. And frequently, they're going to make decisions about areas which they don't have the appropriate expertise to make these decisions. What concerns me as a radiologist who does breast imaging is they already came out with a recommendation stating that you don't need to have a screening mammogram until you're age 50. Well, they kind of backed down from this, and of course Obama says, oh, these are just recommendations. Well, this is frightening stuff, because patients in their 40s that have breast cancer typically are more aggressive. Obviously, they have more years to live and more likely to save their lives if you detect an early breast cancer. These are the very patients that you need to do testing on, and this really concerns me.
All right. Well, Gary, let me ask you this question, because surprisingly, I think, to a lot of people was that the Obamacare discussion yesterday and during the debate was pretty significant. I mean, there was a obviously sharp disagreement. Not only did the panels come up, but just the whole cost of things and where it's going. You mentioned something just now that I think it's important to reiterate, and that is having an agency in between you as the doctor and the patient. What does that mean then for the patient?
You have the wrong people making decisions. I mean, you know, there's no question that, you know, large university centers have tried different ways to approach these things. You know, most have kind of backed off, whether it's Cleveland Clinic or Mayo Clinic.
Which were the examples, by the way, the president kept giving yesterday, but go ahead.
Right. And these haven't worked out. These accountable care organizations, which, you know, I know our hospital is looking at, I mean, these are ways that basically, you know, you're going to set up a cap of money at some point in time. And, you know, the doctors, you know, and a lot of primary care doctors, which people may or may not know, are now being employed by hospitals. And their incentives are going to be, if you have accountable care organizations, is not to go over a threshold. There's only one way to do that. That's to reduce utilization. There are good ways and bad ways to do that, however, Jay. The good way is tort reform, so you don't practice
right.
Defensive medicine, do tests you don't need. Second way is to encourage using appropriate technology, computer order entry, which, you know, we know from software we've looked at every year, encouraging our hospital to do it, but it's expensive. A doctor can order a test, say he orders a CT scan. It may tell him automatically, with this patient's symptoms that you have, you should be doing an MRI of the brain, not a CT. Now, and that could hurt us economically, but in the long run, we know we have to help sustain the system. We're willing to do that. And most doctors are. But I think it also discourages doctors from practicing what they're trained to do. If you're a neurologist, if you get paid $35 or $40 to work up a patient and spend an hour, I mean, you know, I had my faucet fixed. My flow rate was $199. I mean, you can't see a patient, work them up, be responsible for every single thing, worry about what somebody is going to do looking over your shoulder for $35 or $40. It's not sustainable.
You know, it's interesting because not a word on tort reform from President Obama. He will never, never put that in the mix. Let me ask you one last question, Gary, and that's this. How big of an issue do you think the whole Obamacare and the redo of health care should be playing in this political election?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think that what worries me is, you know, human life is different than other things. I mean, it's easy to say, well, you change your oil at 5,000 miles, or if you have synthetic, it's at 10,000 miles. But if you're, I mean, you know, I have two parents, both of whom would probably have been denied care. My father at age 79 is a pancreatic cancer survivor. I mean, the odds are against him, but that's a human life. Okay, he's a survivor. My mother, the same thing, a stroke in her late 70s. They intervened. She went from no movement to now back is driving, and these are functioning people. What price, whose right is it to put a price on people's lives?
Well, let me follow that up then, Gary, because obviously I know your parents. That's a perfect situation. Under the panels, what would have probably happened?
Well, a 79-year-old with a cancer that's 95% fatal in 1 year, they're going to run the numbers just like they're your accountant with a deduction, you know, and they'll say, sorry, that doesn't qualify. And, you know, maybe you'll have the resources. Most people won't, Jay, to do that. But, I mean, you know, people's lives are more important. I mean, I've seen these stories over and over again. I mean, taking a number and crunching it doesn't work because I see 75-year-olds, they're like 60. I see 60-year-olds, they're like 80. I mean, no one's the same. I mean, no two humans are the same. Everybody reacts differently, but it's the onus of us as physicians to give every single person the right to live.
Very good. Gary Hickson, medical doctor, a radiologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and for full disclosure, my brother-in-law. And Gary, thanks for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Folks, we are giving you a very different analysis on this broadcast. We're going to do the same tomorrow, by the way. We're giving you different perspectives. You've heard from medical doctors. You're hearing from people that are involved in the political process, clergy. That's what we're doing on this broadcast the next 2 days, a very different perspective on this first debate. Let me tell you what we want you to do, though. You need to understand the power of the presidency. It's significant, and that means you need to understand what the role of the president is in our constitutional republic, and that's why we've got Foundations of Freedom, which includes the Constitution, with the articles of the Constitution dealing with the presidency and its powers. We're going to send it to you absolutely free. All you need to do is call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also get information at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
I just don't know how the president could have come into office facing 23 million people out of work, rising unemployment, an economic crisis at the kitchen table, and spent his energy and passion for 2 years fighting for Obamacare instead of fighting for jobs for the American people. It has killed jobs.
This because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.